Hello, my name is Craig Faust with Life Care Counseling, and you are listening to St. Louis Therapist Spotlight. And I am just going to meet with another fellow therapist that I know does good work and talk with them a little bit about their practice and their specialties. So if it's something that you feel like may be a good fit for you or someone that you know, then you may be able to get in contact with them. So without any further delay, here we go. Hi, my name is Craig, and I'm here with Evangeline. Evangeline, can you say hello?
Yeah, hi, my name's Evangeline. I'm so happy to be here today.
So first things first, I just want to talk about how impressive the office space was, even as I walked back. We're actually sitting in a conference room right now. This is it's like a very bright, light atmosphere. So I definitely want to compliment you guys on that and creating that.
Yeah.
I was hoping that you would be able to tell me just a little bit about your educational background and tell me a little bit about what made you decide to pursue therapy as a career.
Yeah, happy to. So I have a bachelor's in social work as well as a master's in social work. I got both of those in Chicago, and I worked there for a while, and then my husband and I moved to St. Louis, and that's kind of when I started being interested in doing individual therapy with kids. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I said, okay, what else do I need to be better at this profession? And while I was in Chicago, that's when I learned of this thing called a play therapist. And I was like, what is that? So when I moved to St. Louis, there was only one woman that was supervising play therapists at that time. And so I went under her wing and started going to all the play therapy trainings and flew all over the US, because at that time we didn't have really anything in the St. Louis region. So we had to train elsewhere. So then I became a registered play therapist. Now I'm so devoted to the profession that I now supervise play therapists. So that's a little bit, about my background.
Even just hearing you talk about it, play therapy sounds really fun.
It's awesome.
So, I'm kind of wondering, even as I hear you talk about, can you tell me, like, what might separate play therapy from any other types of therapy?
So as a play therapist, we know that all of our first language was play. So before any of us could verbally say how we felt, we could mirror what we were seeing around us. Mm-hmm. And so we play that out either in a dollhouse or in a little toy kitchen, or maybe in our parents' real kitchen, or how we engage with a baby doll, or my daughters love stuffed animals. And so how they even like feed their animals, they're showing me, you know, nurture or aggression or other different types of things. And so as a play therapist, we retrain our brains essentially to go back to that state of mind and to really be able to observe a child and see how they play out different things. And so instead of requiring them to sit on a couch and me to sit in a chair like this and tell their story, it's, okay, here's all of the tools that you need. Here's all the words, which are the toys in my playroom.
I think that one of the interesting things you're saying, and I just want to kind of introduce maybe a metaphor for this, is the toys and activities you're doing is, in a sense, that is the words, that's the language that they're using. And I just even want to mention this even while I'm hearing you talk about it. If anyone has sat and tried to have a conversation with a young kid, they can probably recall some of those experiences, how tough that's been, and how much more engaging a kid can be while they're actually doing something.
Right.
So that actually makes really good sense to me why something like this would be so, or do so well with kids.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, can you just tell me a little bit about so you said that this is work that really has drawn you in. And it sounds like you're saying that over the course of your career, you kind of really discovered, like, hey, like, this thing of play therapy, I really like working with kids. It kind of really goes together. And I just want to mention that play therapy is, like, one of the gold standards of how we interact and how we work with kids as therapists. Can you tell me a little bit, if I'm a parent listening to this now, and I'm just kind of racking my brain, and there's some things going on with my kid, and I'm wondering if play therapy would be something that would be good for them. Tell me, what are some, like, how would I know, or what are some things I'd be seeing in my kid that would kind of let me know that, like, hey, this would be a good idea?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of parents come for different reasons. Sometimes it's because they notice something's you know, my kid's been doing this for, you know, 6+ months and it's not getting better. The tantrums aren't getting better. They're covering their ears. All of a sudden they have a stomach ache. They don't want to go to school anymore. Or I've noticed them kind of retreat in their room and they no longer want to play with their siblings, or they no longer want to have play dates with people. Or I think another way that parents kind of get alerted that maybe something might be going on is a lot of times by our teachers. Yeah. So the teachers say, hey, you know, we've been trying these different things in the classroom and your child doesn't seem to be able to tolerate this, or they're unable to sit in their chair for longer than a couple of minutes, or we notice that they play by themselves at recess and we really try to pull them in and they want nothing to do with the other students. Yeah. We just have these concerns. It might be time to go and seek some, you know, professional insight, or just to get a different lens looking at your child. So those are kind of the two ways that parents are calling and are like, well, the teacher's concerned. I don't know. This is my only child. So I thought they were developing normally. So that's kind of how they come to us.
Well, I think this is an important thing. So like me as a parent, I'm listening to this. Let's say I'm like, hey, like this sounds like something that'd be great for my kid. Well, what kind of parent interaction occurs whenever their kid may be in play therapy, or like what type of interaction do they have with the counselor that they're working with?
Yeah, so we really try to steer away from like this being a shaming place. School counselors, I think, unfortunately, kind of get that from teachers. They're like, you're being bad, go to the school counselor. And so we honestly even kind of go away from that word counselor here at Come Play. So we say we're a feelings teacher.
Okay.
So as your feelings teacher, what I ask parents to do is actually email me prior to the session. So just let me know how the week went, maybe something that you noted, you know, they had a really big tantrum and it was over XYZ. And so then I can slip it in to the treatment session, as opposed to the family coming and, as you know, we're exchanging the child, the parents like, here's my child, and they're like, by the way, my child did XYZ this week. So we really try to steer away from that. Yeah. So it's not all kind
of priming the whole session for, you know.
Yeah, shame and fear, and now what does my feelings teacher think about me? And so then during the session, then I kind of spill out something. Hey, we're going to pull out the puppets. And guess what happened to this little puppet? She got so sad because, you know, so-and-so couldn't have a play date. And she started to throw a tantrum. And they're like, that happened to me this week. And I'm like, no way. Are you kidding me?
What are the chances?
Yeah, so weird. And then we do a follow-up email like, hey, this is kind of how we process this. We processed it through puppets. This is what they added the puppet saying. So I think that's probably what they were feeling at that time, even though it came through in the behavior of a meltdown.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a lot of phone calls with families.
So for you, that contact with the family sounds like it's really important.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I kind of wonder, like, for you, as you guys work with kids, and that do you guys do any type of like family therapy or anything like that, or do you do any type of family therapy?
So another play therapy modality is TheraPlay, which is an attachment-based mm-hmm. therapy. So we do that. Whether the child was in foster care, adoption, or whatever, but we do have those games that we play with the parents, and we'll bring them in for those nurture, structure, challenge, and engagement activities. As far as family therapy, we have a parent support therapist, and so she really, if there's like a marriage issue, or if there's they're really struggling with a child's diagnosis, or even just getting on the same page as far as parenting style, mm-hmm. They'll go and see her in addition to the child seeing me as the play therapist.
Okay, so that's perfect. So the parent could actually really get a lot of support too.
Yeah,
I think that might be hard for a lot of parents. Is like, hey, this is what's going on, and I can kind of get them feedback from what's going on with you. But if I'm a parent that's like, hey, I know that some of the things I'm doing may not be the best either.
Right.
And I'm wanting to get some type of help or guidance, like you guys also offer that too.
Right.
But can you tell me again, what was that, that were maybe the whole family is in there playing a game? What was that called again?
TheraPlay.
Okay. So if, let's say that our family is doing some TheraPlay, what might that look like?
Well, I just had one of those sessions this morning. So instead of this particular child has a really hard time engaging the parents with their eyes. Mm-hmm. And so when they start to shut down or feel bad about themselves, they kind of curl up in a ball. And so today it was all about working on that relationship and connecting with their eyes. And so mom took 10 stickers and she placed them on the child's body at different parts, and then the child had to mirror it. So he had to take his 10 stickers, and if mom put the sticker on his cheek, he had to put it on the exact same spot on her cheek. And again, that was just to kind of connect them. Yeah. Another one we do is fruit by the foot, which is always a fun one. So the mom measured different body parts and then would feed the child the, you know, however long his finger was, yeah, would feed that by, you know, fruit by the foot. So just, yep, a lot of engagement. And
I can see a lot of parents really getting into that too.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And I think when we have kids that are maybe pushing our buttons, it's really hard to then enjoy or delight in them in those moments. And so it's like, I just don't even want to look at my child. So for us as the therapist, we kind of sit on the sidelines and we act more as a coach, like, okay, mom, now I want you to take these bubbles and I want you to blow them and tell him which finger to use to pop them. And they're like, oh, I had so much fun with my kid. You know, I haven't had this much fun in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you said something really important earlier that I kind of want to rewind back to. So you do play therapy, but it sounds like you said that like you also educate other therapists and how to do play therapy as well.
Yeah, so I do supervise other therapists out in the community that are looking to become registered play therapists as well. So yes, okay, that is part of.
That's important. That means that you've been doing it a while. You, yes, must know what you must really know what you're doing. So whenever
probably
I'm
too here, long.
Well, I think that that says to even hearing the way that you talk about it, I can tell that you're really passionate about, mm-hmm, about helping kids. And I think that's something that's so desperately needed. Like you said, the kids can so easily get mixed messages or anything, right, like that. And it sounds like one of the things you're saying is like, even whenever you start to discover some of those messages, when it, like if a kid kind of figures out how to talk about it, or you kind of see that throughout the sessions with the things that you guys are doing, the activities you guys are doing, and you let the parents know, that then gives them the opportunity to, you know, try to change that message or try to reshape it.
Right.
And if they're having trouble with that, then you also have another therapist that they can see and they can work with to be able,
right,
to do that.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, before I started Come Play, I did work with the parents. So I'd, you know, have a session with just the parents and then just the child. And I just found that the parents were kind of reluctant to share everything because they're like, I just really see you as my child's therapist, and as opposed to our whole family's therapist. Or they just kind of maybe feel ashamed as to what they had done that week. Like, I did yell at him 10 times, you know, and like, oh gosh, I know that's going to come up in therapy this week, or different things like that. So that's kind of why I brought on a parent support therapist, yeah, for us.
Well, I think like you said, I think there is a big difference too, especially like as the child gets older, there may be more reluctance to share if they know that, right, like, hey, parent is getting everything, mm-hmm, from this. Or even, I know sometimes, like, parents may sit in on sessions. Or, like, I know that some counselors, therapists do that. And I think that can become really hard, too.
Yeah.
Because then, like, if they did have a big fight with the parent that comes into the session, it's like, all right, now we're really having a hard time working, mm-hmm, together. So I think that that's actually really wise that you're able to notice that. I'm wondering, can you just, even just like while we're here for a couple minutes, can you tell me a little bit about this office space that you're in? And let's say that even if I'm looking for it, give me some landmarks or give me some idea of where I can park or how I can easily get here if I'm listening to this and I'm like, hey, like, I think this is a really great idea for my kid. Just so people kind of have that in mind.
So something that was really important to us as we were scouting out different places was to be wheelchair accessible. Mm-hmm. And so we really looked for being in the city. There's not very many buildings that have elevators. So we're in the tallest building on South Grand. Another big important thing for us was to be next to a really large green space. So, mm-hmm, we do a lot of therapy outside as well. So Tower Grove, mm-hmm, Park is right next to us. And so families, when you arrive, they'll park, you know, on the side streets. There's a public parking lot behind a bank near us. Or families will park on the street at metered parking. Another thing that our kids love to do is eat at Jimmy John's, which is on the first floor of our building. And then we just got Hot Box, which is a cookie store.
Oh, man, that's dangerous.
So it's quite a little date afterwards. So after our kiddos come to therapy, oftentimes their family goes on a date. So, yeah. So we're kind of in an international restaurant district as well. So we have Thai food, Chinese food, vegetarian options. Yeah, Filipino food, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the Jimmy John's is right there at the base, and actually to come into the part of the building where you get to elevators is just a little bit to the right of Jimmy John's. And it was very easy to find this office. And I think that you're right, like it is a really good location.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that maybe you can tell me, you told me about the play therapy part. Are there any other type of therapies or modalities that you guys might use in order to help some of these kiddos?
So I started Come Play because I started noticing that my kids that were coming to me didn't necessarily just have behavioral concerns, but I was inquisitive, like, you know, when Susie is turned away from me and her back is to me, and I say, Susie, I'm ready, you know, our game is ready. And I say it again and again, and Susie's still not turning around. I'm like, this seems like it's something else going on with Susie. It's not necessarily that she just disrespects her parents or has, I don't even know, the other things that could be going on. So then I started referring Susie or other clients to an occupational therapist, to a speech and language pathologist, to get further psych testing. And I started noticing that, you know, then Susie was now going to play therapy on Monday and speech on Tuesday and on Wednesday OT. And, you know, Susie was making great progress, but the parents were getting stressed out by going to all these appointments. And then they have other children. So now we have, you know, sibling soccer and the other siblings basketball. And so it was so stressful to accommodate Susie and all of her needs. And so I started Come Play to have it all housed in one space. Mm-hmm. And something that we know is Susie with sensory processing disorder. There is some behavioral components to that. So in order for her to like cognitively be able to soak in play therapy, she really needs to decompress or become regulated sensory-wise. And so what we do at Come Play is if we think that the child needs OT and play therapy or speech and play therapy, those other therapists will see them, treat the child first for 45 minutes, get them regulated, and then they'll come into the play therapy for 45 minutes. So Susie's family will be here for an hour and a half, or they'll run to Target really quick and come back. But we're just seeing these kids fly through therapy, where before, you know, I could have been treating Susie for 2 to 3 years, and now Susie's graduating in 6 months.
Okay. That's a big difference.
Huge difference, yes.
Yeah. So for you, and I just want to take a moment to talk about that. So you actually have quite an extensive team. And I was hoping that you can just talk to me a little bit about that. I know that you talked to us about, like, you have a family therapist, you do the play therapy. Can you talk to me about some of these other members?
Sure. So then we, another service line is occupational therapists. Mm-hmm. We have a couple on staff, and they really work on that sensory component or the handwriting component or the gross motor things. Something that we didn't think would happen when we started to Come Play was when we start telling parents, you know, we see these different sensory concerns with your child, the parents are like, wait a minute, I have that. And so now we're treating, you know, some of these fathers or the mothers of these kids who have maybe auditory processing disorder and they can't hear certain pitches because it just sends them into fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
And so occupational therapy, we have a speech and language pathologist that really works on that language for like autism spectrum disorder. Or, you know, if we have a child that has anxiety but also is stuttering, really working through that stuttering piece of it. And then we have a psychological evaluator. We have two on staff. And they really work on, is there a learning disability? That's maybe, you know, honing in on these behaviors, and that's really the root of it all. And then they also do all the formal rating scales for autism, anxiety, ADHD, depression.
So you guys are really able to house a lot of this stuff. No, it's all in-house. It's all in one location. Really convenient for parents, but I think also really convenient in the way that each of these people that you're talking about, they all specialize in these areas. Right. So it's not like it, like you can go see a general practitioner, and general practitioners are really great at what they do. But then you had to go see a specialist mm-hmm. whenever things are a little bit quirky. And, you know, there's certain limitations to what we as therapists, what we as counselors can do. And then bringing all these people with these specialties in one house makes it really easy for this child that has maybe potentially all these other challenges that they're dealing with mm-hmm. really be able to address them all in one go.
Right.
And I think that's really important. And like you said, you can't really argue with that treatment results going from a couple years to six
right.
months.
Yeah.
Another thing that I was wanting to, even as I was kind of listening to you talk about some of these people that you serve, can you tell me about some of the diagnoses specifically that you guys maybe work with?
Yeah. So again, we kind of just held our hands open and said, whatever comes, comes. And so we have been surprised by this. We actually have people come out of state to come and do intensive therapy with us. So they'll fly in, live in St. Louis for the weekend, fly back home for the weekend, because there is nothing like this in the U.S. So some of those are sensory processing disorder, some medical cases, so like medical trauma. We had a little guy fall in a fire pit. And so, you know, the OT worked on scar management and I worked on the behavioral things of what now does my body look like and how does it feel living inside of this new body of mine. So medical traumas, PANDAS is another one, Lyme's disease, depression, anxiety, ADHD, autism, attachment disorder. I mean, really, so many things. It's hard to say it all. Another thing that's been interesting for us is guardian ad litems have started referring directly to us. So in these trauma cases that they're having, or divorce cases, it's nice for them to have one place to refer their kids to get all of the therapies yeah. met.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And like you said, it's such a big deal because there isn't a lot of resources like this around, and people are traveling great distances mm-hmm. for this. I think that's really important. You guys have really created something special and unique here.
Thanks.
Well, it's been a really, really big privilege, me being able to come here and even see some of this office space that you have, and you taking the time to talk with me and really being able to know about this resource. And, you know, I thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for mm-hmm. taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of St. Louis Therapist Spotlight. The music that you're listening to is called Lobby Time by Kevin McLeod, and that is licensed under Creative Commons. And you can find more great tunes like this at creativecommons.org.